At the beginning of July, Romania and Poland were visited by a delegation from the Comagri, delegation from the European Parliament, which highlighted problems associated with grain logistics, transport, lack of transport and traceability of grains, farmers' production and grain capacity, storage capacity, and regions such as the Northeast from Romania and the Southeast from Poland have major problems in this regard. How does the European Commission see a possible intervention on this subject?
So let's start by what caused this situation, which is mainly the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has destabilized global food markets. And it's having an impact on prices, of course. It's driving prices up. It's increasing the cost of production. It's affecting the transport and the freight insurance. And this is, of course, impacting quite dramatically the farmers that were in a post-COVID recovery phase, and this, of course, hasn't helped. So we have been working to address such challenges. So one of the things we have done specifically for the transport and logistics is to set the solidarity lanes that were put in place in May 2020. And also with the UN, we had this deal to export grain through the Black Sea that was put in motion also in August. And this is already making a difference because altogether, for example, since they were put in place, we have managed to export 18 million tons of grains. So this is also two-way. It's export, but it's also imported to Ukraine. So this is really already alleviating the situation and having also a positive impact on global food prices, where we have seen a drop since the war started, and specifically also avoiding that grain goes to waste because we cannot afford it at this critical moment. So Poland and Romania are indeed at the heart of this solidarity and these initiatives because they are, you know, very close to Ukraine, very close to the conflict, and they are really helping to facilitate that these exports actually take place. As European Commission, we are very much in close contact with the countries to follow the situation on the ground and to address any potential bottlenecks that we may confront. And the visit of the European Parliament that you mentioned in July also provided useful insights on the state of play, and we have been discussing this with the respective authorities. Regarding transport and logistics, waiting times at the border with Ukraine and the EU remains a major issue, and we continue to work with Romania and Poland to find solutions.
But regarding the lack of competitiveness of farmers in those particular regions, does the European Commission take into consideration further aid mechanisms?
So we react very fast after the war started, because already end of March we put forward a communication on safeguarding food security and reinforcing the resilience of the food systems, which was mainly addressed to tackle the new situation internally, so regarding farmers in the European Union, and also externally what relates to food security, global food security, and also access to poor countries in need that all of a sudden had no more grains being exported because of the war. So one of the first measures that we introduced with this communication was a support package of 500 million euro that using the crisis reserve that we have in place to support producers most affected by the serious consequences of the war in Ukraine. So that's already put in place immediately. Then at the same time, we put in place an exceptional and temporary derogation to allow the production of any crops for feed and food purposes on fallow land. So this while maintaining the full level of greening payment. So it was a kind of derogation, but without having an impact on the greening, to produce more more grains, because we realized that there was a need to compensate the effects of the war. We have put in place other measures, for example, on rural funds. There's also some exceptional measures to pay farmers one lump sum, those affected by the increase in the cost of the inputs. So this could be up to 1.4 billion euro. This was already put in place in May, and then we have also a special website where we monitor what is the evolution of the market and the exports and imports, statistics, production of specific commodities, key agricultural commodities such as wheat, maize, barley, rapeseed, sunflower oil, and soya beans. So then we can see what is the situation. We have also asked member states to notify on a monthly level, on a monthly basis, the level of stocks, so that we also can follow the situation very closely and see whether there's a need for specific products. And then additional measures, this more on the trade side, we proposed in July to suspend the tariffs on inputs used for the production of nitrogen fertilizers. So this would be until the end of 2024. This is to make sure that the price is more affordable for farmers, because that's one of the main problems, that if prices are too high, farmers cannot afford, and then as a result we will have less yield because they will not be using the fertilizers that they would normally need to use. And we are also analyzing the situation of the anti-dumping duties on urea and ammonium nitrate to see whether this situation should be changed because of the surge of prices of these fertilizer inputs. So these are the whole package of actions we have already undertaken, and of course we continue to monitor the situation and we would take further action if it's needed.
At the same visit, there were some statements related to the possibility to increase funds, obtaining them from, for example, the cohesion policy. There are member states that didn't absorb the 100% of the money from that specific policy. And could this type of money be redirected to the common agricultural policy? Does Commissioner Wojciechowski take into consideration this possibility?
So I've already mentioned two actions we have undertaken to increase support. So the crisis reserve and the support through the Rural Development Fund. So that's already something that is in place. Then in addition to this, under Repower EU, so the energy program that we also put in place, is being financed through different sources. One of them, for example, voluntary transfers from cohesion funds and from the European Agricultural Fund for Rural Development. So it's up to the member states to decide on a voluntary basis that they can allocate up to 12.5% of these rural development funds for the new CAP, so the new CAP that will be implemented as of next year, to support measures included in this Repower chapter and to specifically target farm investment for the benefit of farmers or group of farmers to save energy. So that's already something that we could eventually do, but again, it's up to the member states to do it on a voluntary basis.
There are some concerns, and I've spoken also with the farmers, that Ukrainian grain also remain inside the market, although it should only transit EU member states. Does the European Commission have a situation on this issue? To which extent does it represent a concern?
Well, this is Putin's narrative. It has to be very clear. The problem of the grain started with the war and the invasion of Ukraine, and that's where we started to see the shortcomings and the access problems and the lack of grain around the world, and that's why we put in place the two measures I explained at the beginning, the solidarity lanes, to allow through the European Union these corridors, these safe corridors for the exportation of grains, and the UN initiative to transport via the Black Sea. So that's already very important to take into account. The aim of these initiatives is to avoid a food crisis in the developing world. So we as European Union, we are a top agricultural producer and one of the largest exporters. We do export a lot, and we are not having a problem of food safety. We have enough production to satisfy our consumption and even to export, and we are even exporting more than we have exported in previous years. So it's not really a problem that the European Union needs more grain. It's a problem that we are supporting availability of grain. So the fact that some of the grain comes into the European Union is not the thing that is affecting the food crisis, because at the end of the day, we are really supplying grain to the rest of the world. And some of the grain even that is coming to the European Union is just transiting through the European Union and being directed to other countries. So in that respect, we have to be very clear, and is that the sanctions that we have put in place against Russia, they are not targeting at all food products or fertilizers, etc. There was also some misunderstanding on that, because there are exemptions. So these products are exempted, and they can transit through the European Union to be directed also to third countries, and this is not changing with our system.
But maybe this is more like a problem of competitiveness. If Ukrainian grain enters the market, it has other standards than the European one, and maybe for countries such as Romania, it is a problem, if indeed this is the situation.
Well, what we are trying to do is to address a global problem, and the initiatives were put in place not to satisfy the European Union market, where we don't really need it, but to help to have availability for third countries. And that's basically what we are doing. We are trying to facilitate the movement of grain via the solidarity lanes, via the Black Sea Grain Initiative, to make sure that there is no lack of supply. And at the same time, of course, we have the problem of food affordability, which is also an important element to take into consideration, that we are also addressing in the European Union. But again, this all comes back to the problem of the invasion of Russia, and we are really doing our best to cope with the two dimensions, the internal dimension, which is of course very important for the farmers, but at the same time the external dimension.
Okay. Speaking about drought, it was also a major issue this year for farmers across all the member states, and member states find it difficult to reorganize budgets in order to compensate farmers. Does the European Commission intend to step in?
Yes, so this year has been quite dramatic in terms of droughts and wildfires, and we are aware that the farmers are facing a lot of challenges because of these unprecedented circumstances that we have not experienced as dramatically as this year in the past years. We are closely monitoring the developments, and we are in contact with member states also to see how much they can support within their own CAP strategic plans. Because you know that the CAP are managed by member states, but they have to submit this national strategic plan. So this is the best forum to address the situation for each country. So, for example, due to the weather circumstances this summer, the member states had the possibility to adapt the cultivation conditions for the catch crops. And then on top of that, depending on the situation of the farmers and other operators, it's possible for national authorities to consider the application of force majeure. And this is decided at national level. So this application of force majeure, we think that is the best approach to allow for a swifter and more targeted assistance to farmers who are not able to meet their greening obligations due to severe drought. But at the same time, as I was mentioned before, there's not a risk of food shortages in the European Union. Droughts do affect some areas and some crops more than others. So at the end of the day, the total production is still stable. So it's not putting in danger EU food security or the capacity also to export commodities, certain commodities, to the rest of the world, as I was saying before, with also the solidarity dimension in mind, that is not just about the European Union and our conditions. We also have to think about the rest of the world.
Farmers are still urging decision makers to find solution for the problems of fertilizers, their high price, and shortages across the EU. Last month, EU Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski spoken about a fertilizer strategy. How does this strategy look at this point?
So indeed, Commissioner Wojciechowski was in the European Parliament last week on Thursday, the 6th of October, and he announced that we would put forward a communication on fertilizers. So on the timing, we aim to have it ready by the end of this month or beginning of November. It's still tentative, so colleagues are already working on that. We cannot know yet the exact date, but it should be ready within the next weeks. So we acknowledge that the fertilizer sector is very important for a food system, and we need to work towards its resilience and sustainability also in the long term. So the communication will cover the internal dimensions of our farmers and how to address the challenges they are facing. I mentioned already some of the measures we have undertaken. And of course, the external dimension, countries like Africa that are also very dependent on fertilizers and how we can support them. And then, of course, the greening to reduce our dependency on fertilizer and food security. So we need to be less externally dependent, because one of the things we have seen with this current crisis is that we were too reliant on some countries. For example, Russia is the biggest exporter of fertilizer. And now, even if the fertilizers are not affected by the sanctions because they are not targeted, but of course, as a consequence of the war, it's true that there is a destabilization element. So this is important. And we also need to make our farmers less dependent on fertilizers, on the use of fertilizers as such, to make sure that we are not facing these kind of situations. So it gave us a chance now that we were preparing the CAP strategic plan. So each country was submitting the strategic plans for the implementation of the CAP. We discussed with member states, because the plans also need to be approved by the European Commission, the possibility to take this new situation into account and to find solutions also to fertilizer. For example, with precision farming, proper rational planning of fertilizer use, incentivizing biological and other alternatives to traditional fertilizer. So all the measures that we could figure out to really address this situation.
The legislative proposal, speaking about fertilizer and plant protection products, the legislative proposal of the regulation on sustainable use of plant protection products has caused concern among farmers, especially in Romania, where the quantity of pesticide utilized per hectare in agriculture is way below the European average. Why isn't there a more nuanced approach or a possibility of transition in this case?
So we have taken note of the concerns expressed by the member states. The new rules will take into account the specific circumstances of the member states when it comes to setting the targets. So in calculating these targets, the Commission proposes using a methodology that reflects member states' different national situations, including, for example, historical progress towards the targets and the intensity of pesticide use relative to the agriculture area and the EU average. And member states that have achieved significant reductions in the use and risk of chemical pesticides and the use of more hazardous pesticides will get credit for their efforts by having flexibility to establish less demanding targets.
Okay, and my last question, it was the one that I sent today. To what extent does the European Commission intend to apply a formula of convergence in terms of direct payments? The current value of direct payments for many farmers, especially in Romania, is like very small, a small percentage related to their investment in crops. Does the European Commission intend to reorganize and maybe increase these direct payments?
So the level of direct payments, or payments per hectare, is set out in the 2021-2027 multi-annual financial framework for all member states. And when agreeing on this framework, it was decided that an increasing amount of direct payments per hectare should be allocated to Romania compared to the EU average over the period, what we call the convergence, hence making it possible for Romania to increase the payment to farmers over the years. The Commission cannot change the amounts of this multi-annual framework, which have been agreed by the Council and by the European Parliament.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hope it was clear, because